In particular, in the 3D atlas. So Ben just gave this beautiful talk about using curve to describe two categories of boundary conditions in some theories. I guess an obvious generalization would be to non-abelian theories, non-abelian gauge groups, to try to formulate something there. So what else? And I think I would maybe hand it off to Justin for some part of that answer.
So if you want to try and prove a theorem like what we did for non-abelian gauge theories, even using this Perversch-Schober model, I think on the B side, it's absolutely clear what to do. Like one can easily define like the B type category O with no problems. Ben gave some collection of objects that generate that category. They all kind of look like bundles of flag varieties over a vector space, bundles over a vector space, like whose fibers are like partial flag varieties. Like one could just absolutely just build the B model or the 3D B model on those objects, and you would get like the appropriate, like some notion, some kind of category O on the B side. But on the A side, like we're just completely in the dark. The first thing is
can I ask a question even about the B side? So you have this you have the L for your support condition. I think either you or Ben said was related to sort of considering all possible mass parameters. What if there aren't any mass parameters?
So the one that we considered right was T star C. A mass parameter is a choice of like Hamiltonian C star action on your space. There are basically up to the.
Yeah, I just asking, like, what if you don't have a Hamiltonian action with fixed points?
Then I have.
Good question.
Sorry, what do you want to know about it in that case?
What do you choose? How do you choose L?
So there's only a good choice of L. Like when you're in this like canonical choice of L in this category O setting where it comes from a C star action. I mean, otherwise you can just do any L you want, but that's just might not have any physical meaning.
Well, but it's, I mean, somehow, yeah, the L we chose is like the union of, as Justin said, or as I said, all the possible Ls you would get by picking a mass parameter. And that was in our case that we considered. And like, it's important just to like, in the case of T star C, it was important that those were all the L's we considered, like that was the zero section and the conormal to zero. I couldn't have taken like the conormal to one as part of our L. That wouldn't have behaved nicely with respect to mirror symmetry, sort of because mirror symmetry is like kind of a Fourier transform. You wanted something that was kind of, I don't know. We don't have a good explanation.
I mean, we eventually wanted to prove something by gauging and ungauging, and so you had to choose a G equivariant Lagrangian at least. So that basically like forced you. So like we wanted it to be compatible with the flavor symmetry, and like once you did that, like your only choice is the cross in T star C.
Right.
Or sub Lagrangians of the cross.
Right. So that works nicely in abelian theories, but may not.
It's clear what to do for the flag variety. For like all quiver varieties. basically okay. like
is it very special?
I mean, what example do you have in mind that like you'd like to know the answer to?
Well, I want to give you a group kind of representation.
Yeah, I'm saying I know for all groups and representations what to do.
Yes.
On the it's just an issue of like on the B side, like you can do it, and on the A side, we can't.
We can't necessarily define the two categories. I mean, just to sort of, you know, I mean, Tudor, your question was about like this A side two category. Like the way we calculated it in this case is we like stared at it and then made a really good guess about what perverse Chopra's. I mean, luckily Kapranov Shekman already made a good guess about what perverse Chopra's is. Like if you in a more general situation, you're going to have a T star X with some more general Lagrangian, which is much more singular than the one we did. And I don't know, you can try and stare at perverse sheaves on that for a long time and come up with a really good guess for what perverse Chopra's is. Good luck. I mean, I'm thinking about it too, but it's hard.
Yes, so like in all the cases, like we relied on the fact that like we had chosen a Lagrangian where we knew what the Fekaya category was already of sheaves with that Lagrangian support. And then basically from that, you can guess like what the categorification is. But like, if I just give you like a really awful Lagrangian inside a vector space, like the ones that'll come up with these non-abelian examples, it might be quite singular and bad, and nobody's computed just the Fekaya category of that thing, or maybe Ben kind of has actually.
I mean, it's category O, right? I mean, yeah.
Well,
wrapped version of category O.
Yeah, it's a wrapped version of category O.
But you could, in principle, I don't know, you could in principle try and compute it and make some guesses, but.
Yeah, but anyway, but the point is like you just take the union of all these attracting sets. Like that's the correct answer for any Gmod, for any T star V with a group. And like you have to like say what attracting set means in the correct way. And basically Ben did that in his like calculation of category O, where like the correct notion of a attracting set in T star V mod G is you break the symmetry down to T, choose a Lagrangian there, and then induce up using a like parabolic induction. And you can that's enough things to generate O. So the like the Lagrangian that I have in mind is that like you break the symmetry down to T. Your different choices of co-characters or your different choices of mass parameters give you a way of like inducing from like the abelian case to the non-abelian case, like using like an appropriate parabolic. I mean, it would be better if I could actually write. That might actually help if somebody would give my other. So there's two Justin Hilburns on this Skype. If they would give me the ability to share my screen, then. I think I could actually say something.
we'll wait a second.
But the point is that there's, but basically if you look at Ben's paper on category, like where he calculates like category O for quiver varieties, he tells you like a set of nice generators for category O that all have the form that I'm saying, where you take like a T equivariant Lagrangian and induce it up with a parabolic. And like that's like the correct set of generators to use for the B type category.
I'm sorry, what does it mean to induce by parabolic? Could you give a simple example?
Yeah, so all I'm saying is that if you have a vector space with an action of a group and you choose a generic C star commuting with the action of that group, or actually it doesn't even need to commute it. Like you could also just choose an extension of your group by C star. What one can do is you can look at, there's a certain Lagrangian correspondence which starts from this character will determine a Levy, like of the, like a Levy subgroup of G, like by taking fixed points. And you can take your vector space and take fixed points for the C star action there. So you'll get something that looks like V fixed points mod G fixed points. So that's like V fixed points mod a Levy. Then that will have receive a map from you can look
you can
at
write this down.
I can't write it down because I don't
you
have
you can share. Yeah, you do.
Okay. That's what I was just asking. Do I have the ability to?
I'm sorry. If you could explain what happens for T star P1, that would be helpful.
It's T star P1 is abelian. So that's not a good, that's not an example that could be done.
T star Grassmannian?
Yeah, that's an example. Sorry, I'm just trying to share screen. All right. So all I'm saying is that if I choose a map, so first question you have to ask is what is a C star action on T star B mod G? So that question actually the answer is not totally obvious. And actually, for now, let me not even worry about the T-star bit.
It's similar to selecting a family of envelopes, I suppose.
Yeah, but my answer is going to be you choose an extension of G by a U1, and then look at so these sorts of things appear all over, in the story. And then basically you get this will induce an action on V mod G. And the interesting thing is that because of this extension, you actually have this action can actually act interestingly on G. The C star is actually acting on both V and G. In some ways. So that's the first thing. So this is the most general way that you can give a flavor. So this is what you would just say, that's how you give a flavor symmetry. And then the next question that one could ask is what is a fixed point? Or what is a fixed subvariety, so the abstract definition, the one that's totally useless, is that you look at maps over BGM from BGM into V mod G twiddle, where this is modded out by the rest of the things. But there's a theorem that one can use that this actually has a concrete description, where this is the disjoint union over all maps or over all lifts of our co-character. So maps from C star back to G twiddle and then back to C star. So this is the identity. So it's a set of a bunch of components. And each of these components is of the form, you take this gamma, you take the fixed points of V with respect to gamma, the C star determined by gamma, and then you take the fixed points of the gamma action on G, and this is your fixed point set. Generically, this thing, this G gamma is going to be a Levy subgroup. And then this parabolic induction, one can ask, what is the Janus interface, as Mikola would say?
So would it worry you if B gamma was not points? There are quiver varieties in which I think the thing you wrote, I think there's no gamma for which B gamma is isolated points.
But those don't have a category O. So works fine.
They don't have a category O, which is why I was bothering you about that in the first place. So something like a D or E type ALE space has a quiver construction, but it does not have flavors.
But it also doesn't have symplectic duality.
Well, it should have some version of 3D mirrors. I mean, it certainly has 3D mirrors, and there had better be two categories attached.
That's a good question, Justin. You could try and compute the, you know, of a D type whatever, you know, the 3DA model. I mean, we could even do that with what we know now and try and see if that has a B type description.
Yeah, but basically, like, I don't want to. I mean, so
I mean, there is an interesting like causal duality statement in that case.
Okay, what's the causal duality statement?
I mean, there is still a category O, it's just kind of degenerate, right? But it's still like, it's, you know, if you compute the X in that category O, it's the same as the endomorphisms of the projectives in category O for the Coulomb branch. So, right, this is expressed by the Coulomb branch not having a resolution, but somehow like, it's still okay. There's still an interesting category there.
That's right. But like, so there though, the projectives, I think you're just choosing when you say projectives, like you choose like the T monodromic category or something, right? Like that's how you decide. Like how do you decide like what a weight module is? The pre-image.
No, but on the Coulomb side, there is there's still a C star action, yeah. But you know, like, so, you know, if you take a fundamental that's not minuscule and take a non-extremal weight space, right? And so like take your favorite fundamental weight that lies in the root lattice and take the zero weight space. Like there's still an interesting category there, but it's just finite dimensional modules over the like quantization of the quiver variety.
So the obvious thing you have on every quiver variety is just like take the pre-image of zero under the interval system.
Yeah, okay. Exactly.
That's like the obvious Lagrangian, and that's like the only one you can choose if you don't have a mass parameter. Maybe
in that case, yeah.
So let me say this. So like in general, if you have a Coulomb branch, you could just choose, like you always have this, like even if you don't have a, you always have this guy, this, or like even right. if you, And so that's just your choice, I think, like if you don't have anything else to do.
Yeah. But the point is, you know, like there still is an interesting statement there.
I mean, I agree. And like it comes up even in other things, but.
Justin, can you call that L just so that to keep the notation consistent?
Sure. So there's like a natural choice of L. So this is the only thing you can do in general. But the thing that's more interesting is just this one that you get by like taking all of these like attracting sets.
And by the way, the thing in the upper right corner, I mean, that is what we had in this first case where we considered pure gauge theory is dual to the whatever regular centralizers. In that case, we didn't have, you know, our L was just kind of the zero section.
In this C star example, we did consider that. So like the simplest example of this is T star C star maps down to C, and then you just get the zero section. And so basically in the pure gauge theory case, this is probably the mirror to pure gauge theory. This is probably what I would take as my thing. But for like the general quiver varieties, if you want to get O, like you want to consider this thing. And so you can take the disjoint union of this Lagrangian correspondence over all gamma. And this is what I meant by the parabolic induction. So here, my notation here is that this is fixed points. And then this was attracting. But like, so this thing is the Janus interface for the mass parameter. And like in general, like this thing will be, this thing's like usually like this is a Levy subgroup and this is a parabolic. And so like, if you were going to do category O for a quiver variety, you would basically use this thing to build, like your categories would be, basically you would induce up from, you would say that you knew what the correct Lagrangian is to use when your levy is a torus, and then you would just induce that Lagrangian up like through this parabolic induction correspondence to get something in V mod G. And this thing appears in Ben's paper. Like this is the way he builds simple modules in category O.
Did that work for you, Ben? So let me ask the other question to Justin and Benji and Asa. So what about the analytic side of the story? What if you want to build something more like a proprietary category?
Yeah, so maybe Asa should tell us about that. Let me stop sharing. Since he hasn't had any opportunity to speak.
Benji at the start of his talk said, you can expect to have a lot of difficulty if you actually want to sit down and try to say something that's rigorous and correct. But one doesn't have to be so rigid in their thinking. One can try to, if they're not afraid, they can try to make some incorrect guesses about what the structure might be. And let me say something about that, I guess. So it'll take a second for me to share my screen, I guess.
Maybe formulate the problem.
Yes.
Since we've heard a lot about this Kerber-Schober perspective, mm-hmm. What else would you want?
So what we really want is just like the Foucaille category is constructed using the counting pseudo-holomorphic maps, right? From some surface to the symplectic manifold M omega, we would like a construction of a two category based on PDEs and PDEs that arise naturally from physics. So how would we do that? This is maybe some very rough sketch of how things might go, right? So basically, the idea is that given some holomorphic symplectic manifold, which for Benji's talk was, it's writing it something like this, right? Wow. But in general, you don't necessarily have to take the cotangent bundles. We want to attach some two categorical like object, right? Two category. So it should be based on counting two and three dimensional PDEs, right? We should at least try to Foucaille category is difficult if you want to actually do the analysis. But if you just want to like draw the pictures, right? So of the following type, right? So in general, like a 2-minute sketch is that, you know, objects are Lagrangians, so M omega is symplectic manifold, Lagrangians, and then so Hams are intersection points, etc. And so A infinity maps are, so the kth A infinity map you know, you, for that you count something like this, some pseudo holomorphic disks with these type of boundary conditions, EK minus one, L zero, L one, etc. So, and then so the A infinity relations just come about when you try to take this picture and look at its degeneration, right? So maybe one question one can hope to answer is what would be the analog of just this sort of this operatic type pictures in the two categories? So I can try to describe what I think, how I think this will go at a rough level. So I guess that's where I would spend a few minutes doing this if people are interested.
Sounds great to me.
Mm-hmm. All right. So let's see. So basic idea is that, well, so the 3D n equals 4 theory can be with some hyperkähler target X, right? Later I'll relax this to be just holomorphic simplistic. Can be described as, so the A twist. So in other words, the 2,2 subalgebra of the 3D n equals 4 algebra can be described as an LG model. So if your theory is formulated on, let's say, R2 times some one manifold, then the LG model has a space, has a target space given by maps from I to X. So this is some infinite dimensional target space. And now let me choose a holomorphic symplectic structure to be exact, so that lambda is the primitive. And the superpotential then is going to be given by given a map like this, given something here, right? You will write, you'll take the pullback of lambda and integrate it over I. So this is some well-defined LG model. This is just another way of writing down the 3D n equals 4 theory that makes the A-type subalgebra manifest. The basic BPS equations. Can be obtained immediately, are obtained. So in general, if I have an LG model with some superpotential W, there is a 1D PDE, 1D ODE, and a 2D PDE. This is known as the gradient flow equation for real W, also known as the zeta soliton equation. And this is known as the zeta instanton equation, also known as Witten-Delbar equation. So this in explicit coordinates reads something like this, d phi by dx. It's something like gab times d by d phi b times the imaginary part of zeta inverse w. And this is something like this. If X is a coordinate on R, and then if Z is a coordinate on C, this looks something like right? So if I just take this and apply this to this LG model, right, I will get the basic VPS equations for the 3D A model. So VPS equations for a 3D A model are the following. So because I have this I in the game, this 1D equation in this example will lead to some 2D PDE, and this will lead to some 3D PDE are the following. So the zeta soliton equation is going to be given by something like following. So so let me call the coordinate on I as y, and this coordinate stays x. So this will be an equation for maps from I, y times r coordinate x to the target x plus I, a, b, zeta, d phi b by dy equals zero. So IAB zeta is some almost complex structure on x that depends on zeta, varying with zeta. So I won't say what it is explicitly, but one can, it's basically built from a combination of some auxiliary metric and the holomorphic symplectic. Well, I can write it explicitly, something like something like this. You can choose the metric and the holomorphic symplectic form says that this squares to minus one. So this is just some version of the pseudo holomorphic map equation, right? Map equation. And so the zeta instanton or the Witten del Bar equation. Is this equation. So now I introduce another coordinate tau. So this will be a map from R tau times Rx times Iy to X. And it takes the following form. So let's see. So I have I, right? This is I. I have another complex complex structure on X, which is just by definition, because X is hyperkeeler or holomorphic symplectic, this thing is already there. So then I can also form a third complex structure by multiplying the first two. So I get three almost complex structures. So I can write this natural equation, which Ben Gamage already wrote in his talk. Looks something like this. IAB plus JAB dx plus KAB dy minus the equation. So this I learned later is known as the Feuder equation. So this is the basic 3D BPS equation. So if you ask about supersymmetry preservation, so I think this is 1/4 BPS. So this preserves 2 out of the 8 supercharges. And this is 1/8 BPS. This preserves 1 out of the 8 supercharges in the 3D n equals 4 algebra. So you wanna take these PDEs and count their solutions, build vector spaces from them, build morphisms from them, to get some two category. So how would we do that? Let's see. So is everything I've said so far clear?
All right. Really nice. Anyone have any questions?
Uh-huh. If not, I will continue with my sketch. So let's sort of follow our nose and see what we get. So our objects. These should be 2, 2 A type boundary conditions. In other words, they should be boundary conditions that get along with the subalgebra defined by this superpotential. So the most natural ones are holomorphic Lagrangians. So L next omega equal zero. By the way, I think I've not been clear whether I'm being hyperkähler or holomorphic symplectic. So let me just, from now on, I'll just assume things are holomorphic symplectic. So if we are to believe that there is some two category, in particular, there should be given a pair of Lagrangians, let's say that intersect transversely, there should be a one category of boundary lines between L and L prime. Let me call this line L. So what do you think this will be generated by? These will be following our nose and trying to categorify the Foucault category. This should be some A infinity category generated by intersection points, generated by objects, LP for each key in the intersection, right? So those are the objects. What about morphisms? So what would be the space? So here we should really sort of take this Landau-Ginzburg description kind of seriously. Sort of motivate, roughly this should be something like the Foucault Seidel category of the space X, of maps from an interval into X with L0, L1 boundary conditions, or LL prime boundary conditions, with the superpotential I wrote above, plus boundary terms. So at this point, we really have to sort of think about which version of the Foucault-Seidel category are we using. There are several possibilities. There is like the standard possibility that I think is due to Seidel, which is based on sort of taking thimbles and looking at their intersections. There's some construction by Hades. There's some construction by Biotomor-Witten. So the advantage of these two constructions, to my understanding, is that they use the actual EPS equations for the LG model as the basic building block. Whereas this one, even though we're studying the category associated to a Landau-Ginzburg model, for some reason, which I don't understand too well, is still based on the holomorphic map equation. So we will use something close to this one. So in other words, we want to build, in particular, this category using the equations I already wrote above, using the two and three dimensional PDEs. So in particular, in Hades' formulation, if I have two critical points of a superpotential I and j, the space Hom ij in the Foucault-Seidel category is given by, roughly speaking, just a single generator. So I take one generator for each ij gradient trajectory, roughly speaking. So I have to choose some ordering on the vacuum and so on, which I will suppress. So every sort of radiant trajectory, if, let's say there are two of these in the target space M, then you would get something like, okay, this is C2, right? So if we are to take this seriously, then we would say that in this, the Hom space between P and P prime in this category lines L0, L1 should be some sort of space of, so there should be some space where one, there is a generator for every zeta PP prime holomorphic disk with these boundary conditions. Is this clear, what I'm trying to say here? I don't think I said it too well, actually.
I'm sorry, could you repeat again? What is this category? It's home.
Yes.
I'm sorry, L0 and L1 are objects of the two category.
Yes.
And you're describing the category of morphisms between them.
So yes, so there is a category of boundary lines, right? So I'm sort of describing I'm describing this category, right? So this category is built from objects, one object for each intersection point, and now I'm trying to describe the Hom spaces in this category. So the idea is that in the Hades version of the Foucault-Seidel category, Homs between two critical points of a superpotential are built from gradient trajectories. There's a generator of the gradient trajectory for each pair of critical points. So one thing I guess I didn't say is that, okay, so on this thing has critical points, the superpotential with these L0, L1 boundary conditions has critical points given by intersection points again. So now I want to look at sort of gradient trajectories of this superpotential. And as I said before, these are solutions of this equation. So in other words, I sort of study solutions with these boundary conditions and I assign a generator graded in an appropriate way for every sort of pseudo holomorphic disk with these boundary conditions, right? This is something that it by itself takes some work to define, but this part I think is okay. So now what about the A infinity structure? So in particular, D equals M1 can be defined rather easily. So for this, I guess it's more convenient to use strips, I guess. So this is L0, this is L1, this is P, and this is P prime. This is my coordinate that I called X, and this is my coordinate that I called Y. So D equals M1, so in other words, I have some disk or some strip in the past. So in the past, I have some disk DP prime, and in the future, I have some disk EEP prime. Then I want to count, I want to compute this matrix element. So this can naturally be formulated as follows. So it is the sort of number of future maps with the following boundary conditions. So these are my intervals at tau going from minus infinity, tau going to plus infinity. So this is my disk DPP prime, and this is at plus infinity. I have some other disk EPP prime. And so I count, if I have to make sense of counting such maps, and that'll give me my matrix element between these two pseudo-holomorphic strips. So let me map this to some more convenient picture. So I will map this to a boundary. These should have, it should be L0 and L1. So let me map this to a more convenient picture.
L and L prime?
Yes. Yeah, I'm switching between L0 and L1 and L and L prime. So, yeah. I don't know which one to use. I'll stick with L0 and L1. Okay. So now I'm on a three ball. So on the boundary, what's happening is I have some disks. So this is, let's say, D, and this is, let's say, E. And these lines carry labels of these intersection points and these sort of different halves of the boundary hemisphere are labeled by Lagrangians. L0 and L1. So this, one can hope, defines a sensible boundary value problem for the Feder map, for the Feder equation. The reason I drew this is that it kind of generalizes to MK, the higher airy maps in the A infinity category. So remember, I'm still in lines L0, L1. And now, what would be construction of the composition map between different intersection points? Pk minus one, pk. So this is all in lines L0, L1, lines L0, L1. Lines L0, L1. So elements here are some disks, P0, P1, PK minus one, PK. And so the matrix element of this sort of thing here. One can hope there is a sensible boundary value problem of this sort. So I count solutions of the Feder equation on this three ball with these boundary conditions. So these are my disks. And these lines are labeled by intersection points. PK, and again, these halves, these sort of hemispheres, are labeled by L0 and L1. If you're an analyst, I think it would be great if someone can actually define this type of boundary value problem and see if it gives you the A infinity relations on lines. One can hope that this sort of counting problem defines an actual infinity structure on just this category of boundary lines between two Lagrangians. And so there are more similar sort of pictures than one can draw that actually gives you some two categorical structure. So in other words, in a two category, you want something like this, right? You want OPE of lines, of boundary lines. So if I have some object P here and an object Q here, you can think about how to construct some object generated by
intersection points here.
There are similar pictures one can draw, which are very natural. So given PQ here, FT, F2, PQ should be some twisted complex generated by R intersection points and L0 intersection L2. Twisted complex of such objects. The underlying spaces will be sort of the underlying vector spaces of this. So the coefficients, if you wish, of this twisted complex, you can think of it as being built from a vector space assigned with this sort of holomorphic disk. And there are similar sort of pictures one can draw to say what the Morey-Cartan element is of these twisted complexes. So I can draw like a sample picture and then I'll stop. You can try to think or hope that this sort of boundary value problem will make sense. And now you will have three Lagrangians labeling the boundary of your three ball. I don't think I did a good job of drawing this, but I hope the idea is clear. The most general sort of picture one can draw is that you have some input, some output, and then different pseudo-holomorphic disks, and this will define some two-categorical composition law in your two-category. There should be some operad where one can make things precise. It should allow you to write down what the appropriate generalized A infinity axioms will be. That I think should be an approachable problem. But then there's of course the actual analysis of the Feuder equations and making sense of these things as boundary value problems. That is totally something that I think will take years to work out, and that is far from my expertise. So that is just like a highly, very rough sketch of how I think some of these categorical structures will go.
Thank you for going through all of that, Hassan.
Yeah, sure.
These are really hard analysis problems. Mm-hmm. That some people are actively working on, maybe not as many as might. The pictures here are also very familiar from, I guess the quoted from Haya stories from like a decade ago. They were highly on surfaces they were on two spheres, and now you're showing them with the 3D ball. That was beautifully laid out, and I guess for anyone who's looked into this, the difficulties should be apparent. I wanted to highlight before we go, maybe two other hard things that would be lovely to make some progress on. One is that in the context of 3D mirror symmetry, we're not just interested in single models, but in gauge theories, where one would like an equivariant version of everything you've described. And that is, I'm not sure there's even a mathematical treatment of that in two dimensions, or what should be a separate category?
Sorry, I got disconnected. I didn't realize my laptop is not charging. So now I'm logged in from my phone now. My tablet is probably not connected. So,
maybe if you comment.
Yes.
So this this is a wonderful story that Hassan told us, and it makes a lot of sense to me because it matches in spiritually or algebraically what we were looking with Anton in our second paper. So in the second paper, we considered what would be deformation of a cotangent bundle. What would be the two category which corresponds to deformation of a cotangent bundle. And so it seems that one would get a two category, which is in which categories of morphisms were all A infinity type. And for some miraculous reason, you could compose two A infinity categories. So the idea that the tensor product of two matrix factorizations results in a matrix factorization with the sum of W's somehow generalizes in a very non-trivial way. But again, I was trying some examples and there were miraculous matchings, generalizes in a non-trivial way to the case when deformation is not just W, but of a general A infinity type. So as I said, the idea of bringing in W to the category of coherent sheaves is that you're looking at all the possible deformations, which are described by the even part of the Hochschild cohomology, and you pick just the simplest one, which is W. So, and that is the one to pick in the case of a cotangent bundle. So in case when cotangent bundle is deformed, an amazing, it seems that the infinity structures can be composed. So what we didn't work through, and I guess it exists, is that there is a general algebraic 3D adapted A infinity setup.
Mm-hmm.
And so I guess the key to this in your story would be a polyhedron in which at the vertices you would see the disks, for example, mm-hmm. it depends on how you draw it. And the faces would be the triangles that you see. So you begin with the story that A infinity of the Foucault model is given by disks with marked points on the boundaries. And then somehow their moduli spaces assemble miraculously to give you the proper A infinity relations.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess one has to come up with a general 3D story of what is an A infinity two category.
Exactly.
The A infinity things, and they're composable, which is mm-hmm. a non-trivial thing.
Yes.
Quite non-trivial. And, yes. and it should fit the solutions of those Fuder equations with these polyhedra. This is amazing. So mm-hmm. it should be a 3D adapt. It should be an A infinity two category.
Exactly. Yes.
Proper definition.
Yes, and I think so. My understanding is such a thing is not does not have an explicit definition yet.
That's the point.
Mm-hmm. So you know, there are these maps that you know, there's Anneri's maps, as you were saying, from that compose different boundary line categories. And then, so you know, you might imagine that there are some categorified A infinity axioms. I don't know, but it's an extremely interesting question. I agree. So the only work I know that is in this direction is some papers by Nate Botman, but he told me that he thinks he doesn't have like the final sort of axioms that I think Lev is pointed towards that will capture the. All these products and so on, but it's a very interesting question.
So just to reply to Tudor's question really quickly, that's correct, Tudor, that like the equivariant Foucault category is like very far from what analysts currently understand. Because, you know, when you define the Foucaultian category, you have to make all these perturbations and you usually can't make them equivariantly.
Yeah, thank you. The other thing to maybe say, like, just from the perspective of the neurosymmetry, is that the targets for the neurosymmetry are to be not just a variant, but a compact. And they're a higher categorical versions of wrapping phenomena that should appear. Sort of on top of the beautiful story that Asam laid out. That I know there were many discussions of that last week and have been ongoing discussions. Thanks. That's a very nice summary of what we hope to see.
Mm-hmm. So one other thing I think should just mention very quickly, which is since we had gauge groups around, so one sort of natural there should be a natural generalization of the entire two category story to when there's a G action, or let's say just a U1 action. So there will be some Foucaultian version of this story where the complex moment map plays the role of the superpotential. And I think so that will be some morally speaking some higher some 3D version of the algebra of the infrared of Gayotomo-Whitman. That's sort of a natural thing to expect, but again, no actual work has been done in that direction.
Yeah, and that's the setting that gives O, like category O. So like all the category O examples fall into that category, mm-hmm. or that setting.
Okay. Yep.
So,
yeah, so hopefully exciting developments ahead. Thanks very much to all of you. There any final questions, thoughts, comments? Awesome. Yeah, thanks. It's been a lovely day. And we will stop now and see you all tomorrow.
Thank you.
Yeah, sorry, Peter, that I didn't understand your question before. At the beginning about the when you don't have the U1 action.
I think we sort of covered everything.
Okay. No, I agree. Yeah.
That was fantastic. Cool. And yeah, I love it absolutely. The thing you said is exactly what we want. Some higher description of boundary conditions in 3D. Where fundamentally you build all of the higher operations from finite diagrams. That's really come from the two dimensions. Well, perturbatively, they come from finite diagrams in the E-type model, and they involve these instantons in an A-type setting. And basically, principle, it's straightforward how to encode by that, but it needs to be faithfully precise. Awesome. See y'all later.
Yep, cool. Bye. Yeah, sorry, Lev. I don't know that like I made the parabolic induction thing very useful.
No problem. I'll Google it. So
yeah, I mean, like just the simplest example is like if you had G like the Lie algebra G mod G, then there's like a natural correspondence which maps from T mod T to G mod G, which is given by even if I choose any Levy in G. There's like a correspondence from like L mod L to G mod G, which is given by like the parabolic mod P. like basically include the parabolic includes into G, but it projects onto the levee, like projecting away like the.
I think I have some idea where you want to go. You want to turn levees into parabolic subgroups somehow, naively at least.
Yeah, or maybe I'm saying you choose a parabolic and then it naturally has a levee. And then from that, like it gives you like a correspondence. And the point is like for these like quiver varieties, like these Janus interfaces where you turn on a mass parameter, like basically they give you like a correspondence between a theory with like, with, you know, some matter V in gauge group G to some other, so it's like some subset of the matter, let's call it W, but with gauge group L, like being the levee. And like basically the thing that you put on the boundary to make it like interpolate is a theory involving the parabolic or involving.
Actually, I never looked at Janus interfaces. I guess I should. There is a paper by Gyöty Witten, the old
one. But those I think were for like theta parameters or something. But like I want the ones that Mikola was talking about, like Dedashenko.
So those were interfaces between A and B, if I remember correctly, weren't they?
I thought he was just doing mass on or mass off.
And so
like that's like the interface that, so I'm saying that like that's what's going to determine, like let you figure out what the skeleton is for like an arbitrary like quiver gauge theory.
You're saying that what you want is similar to what Nikolai Dedashenko did?
I see. So basically he has like something where like you can basically interpolate from like a big sum of like quiver gauge theories with smaller with levee gauge groups to like a bigger quiver gauge theory by like, you know, turning on this like mass, like looking like looking by like turning on this mass parameter. And I'm saying that like if you look at like what that interface, if you compile out that interface, you find that it looks like what Ben Webster was studying in his work on O.
In the extreme case, you're talking again about envelopes.
Yeah, in the extreme case, I'm talking about envelopes.
Point into a.
Yeah, into some cycle.
Yeah,
but I'm saying that if you look at these things at the level of the gauge theory, they involve parabolic induction. Mm-hmm. Or you know, maybe, I mean, I like to do algebraic geometry, so it's a parabolic, but otherwise it's like they involve the partial flag variety. Like is that like is like you might say you couple to a partial flag variety or something on the boundary to break the symmetry.
I have some idea. Okay.
But anyway, but they appeared in Ben's paper is all I'm trying to say as the correct Lagrangian for.
Okay. Thank you.
Cool.
Tudor, may I give you a call now to ask you a question?
Oh, yeah, sure. That sounds great. I'll go outside and enjoy some sun while chatting. Yeah, yes, that sounds great.
Okay, thank you. By the way, is this your own stand, the one that you folded?
Oh, yeah, it is.
It's a convenient thing if you...
It's $25. It's great because I have trouble sitting down, too. So I've been just... It's like a portable standing desk, but also useful for like setting up a blackboard.
I'm sorry, I cannot hear you clearly because it's echoing, but I'll
talk to you on the phone.